Bahrain, what is going on? Happy Wednesday out there, because it is definitely Wednesday. As we all know, it is Wellness Wednesday. DJ Cali, Commander Braxton, aka DJ Renaissance, how are you?
Good morning, how are you? Did you do the reindeer dash?
I did not. I work.
Did you?
Oh, the show, come on, the show's 3 to 6. I do it all. I'm here in the mornings, apparently. I also work in the afternoons, 3 to 6. So I hear them, because you guys running right outside the studio. But you did it.
I did, yeah. So I did the walk. To me, running is a four-letter word. And so, but I know that within the command, that was a big thing. Our OIC wanted to see about getting a good amount of participation. So I was dressed up in holiday gear. And I did the walk, and didn't listen to AFN, on the AFN Go app, but I do know how to use it now. Is you have to use your VPN and turn it off, so it's not with the United States, so that way you can listen. So I was listening to you on Sunday night, and so I love it how you're playing music from the 80s. And the
best
music
genre
is,
of music.
Oh, wholeheartedly. And I'm trying to remember what the song was now. I can sing it in my head, but when you were playing that, I just
smiled. You're not
going
to sing it on the radio for us?
I'm not going to sing it on the radio because, again, people don't have enough money to pay for me to continue singing. I'm that good.
That good. You're also here not to sing, but to talk about wellness.
Yes, and December is Impaired Driving Prevention Month. And when you think about it, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are probably the two most festive holidays in the United States, but they can also be the most deadly because, again, a lot of times people are raising toasts and celebrating and such like that. And so we're going to be talking about impaired driving. That also includes drugs, too, so it's not strictly alcohol, because again, drugs can impair your ability to drive as well. And later this afternoon, we're going to have over at the MWR Fitness Center at the Rock Wall from noon to 1300, we're going to have Chief Carus, who is the base DAPA, and he's going to be bringing over the drunk goggles.
Those are wild.
Those are a lot of fun. We've used those in Rota, Spain, and so we had the drunk goggles, and they even had tricycles, and so we had little padded, like the little wrestling mats, so they borrowed those from the MWR Center, and we would have people put the goggles on, and they would ride the tricycles. And it's very interesting. And I tried the goggles, and I had the lowest level of sobriety. And we were tossing, I think it was one of those quit smoking inflatable, or not inflatable, but fillable water bottles. So we had it filled with water. We were playing toss with that. And so it was funny because when I'm tossing, I think I'm throwing it straight, but it's actually curving off to the side. And when then you had to like reach down to pick it up, and it just really distorts your vision. So it was funny, but it was also literally sobering, because when you really think about if people are under the influence, just how you are impaired. Chief Carus from DAPL, he will be there. So we're looking forward to that. So that'll be at noon today at the Rock Wall.
Well, if you're interested, it is hilarious, I guess I can say, to watch people put them on and try and walk in a straight line.
Yes.
And do basic, normal human things. And it kind of gives you an eye-opening experience to the effects of drugs and alcohol. So we're going to get into it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We will be right back.
We're cranking up the heat, Bahrain. It's just what we do. AFN The Eagle, serving America's
best. All right, good
best.
Morning, Bahrain. Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday. We are talking about all the festive joys that come with the holiday season and some of the dangers that come along with the joys. So it's not all rainbows and sunshine and candy canes and gumdrops to make it a little more festive. There's some dangers out there, and we're all probably gonna, I will have a drink or two over this holiday season. But there's some things you gotta know, correct?
That is very much so. And I know that you're leaving to go home to San Diego.
I am.
And I know that you like to eat your candy canes the curbside first.
So I do.
I listen to you when I drive home. I really do.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
Just a little fun fact about me. But we're not talking candy canes. I will be going home. And when I go home, I've been seeing all these people in like a year. And I go out and they're like, all right, well, we'll go out. We'll go have a drink. We'll go have a drink. And I was like, all right. So, you know, you're going all over the place. But you got to be careful. You can't. Drinking driving is one of the most dangerous things you can do. And December, I learned, apparently, is the highest rate of drinking and driving.
For sure. And they even say that New Year's Eve, they call it amateur night. Because, again, sometimes people just drink way too much. And unfortunately, with alcohol, that can, besides it's lowering your inhibitions, but also it gives you that liquid courage. And people think, oh, yeah, I'm fine to drive. And they're really not. And so just in the Navy, they always talk about being innocent bystanders. And so it's see something, say something. So even if you see a shipmate there, you're at a bar or at a party, and you see them acting kind of strange, making sure you take the keys away for them and just finding ways to distract. You know, there's various programs that we've had throughout our careers to talk about this. So they make sure that after the holidays and celebrations that everyone gets home in one piece so that we're able to come back and be part of the fleet when our leave is over.
So there's a lot of truths. There's a lot of myths out there. Let's break some myths. Let's go over some things that people think about alcohol or getting rid of alcohol or just in general. So myth number one, and this is one I've heard. It's fancy. It rhymes. It's easy to remember. Beer before liquor, never been sicker. Liquor before beer, all in the clear.
Which is a myth. And the fact, yes, and it's not you. It is fact because, again, it doesn't matter how much alcohol you have and in what order. Alcohol will make you sick and you can get hungover. So it doesn't matter the type and the order that you consume it. And so I think those are definitely just beliefs that people have, maybe because it rhymes. But alcohol is alcohol is alcohol. And we could even talk about that because, again, different types of alcohol have different concentrations. So let's actually talk about right now. I think, is it Toby Keith who has that song Red Solo Cup?
Someone does.
I think it might be Toby Keith, but whoever it is, if you can picture a Red Solo Cup in your mind, and there are different lines on that Solo Cup. So the lowest line, so it's the one that's closest to the table, that would equate to one shot of liquor. And one shot of liquor is approximately 1.5 ounces. And that could equate to about 40% alcohol. So then the next line up after that is what would represent a glass of wine. And a glass of wine is approximately 5 ounces, and which is about 12% alcohol. And then if you fill that up to the top, that equals about one beer, which is 12 ounces, which is about 5% alcohol. And so obviously if you are drinking hard liquor, shots of different things, you do not want a full solo cup of that liquor because, again, that's just that's not good for you. But again, what's most important is that whether it's 5 ounces of wine, one shot, 12 ounces of beer, or 8 ounces of a malt liquor, for example, they are all equal to one serving of alcohol. And it takes the body approximately 1 hour to metabolize one serving of alcohol.
Okay, so the Red Solo Cup, it's not just for partying, it's actually a good indication of how much alcohol you're ingesting.
Yes, and so, for example, even if you are at a party and you have Red Solo Cups and you're making mixed drinks, for example, putting in the alcohol first so you know, like, okay, if I'm going to be using a hard liquor, fill it up to that lowest line and then fill it up with your juices and your mixers and whatever else. So that's something. So if you want to try to be an appropriate host so that you're not making the drinks too strong, that would be something to use as a rule of thumb.
So second myth we have here is, let's say you do overdrink a little bit, you want to sober up. Coffee or a cold shower Is that going to just magically evaporate the alcohol in your system?
No. It's either going to make you a hyperactive drunk because of the coffee, or it's going to make you possibly a cold drunk. And so time is the only thing that can help you sober up. And again, it takes 1 hour to metabolize alcohol. And since your body can only process so much alcohol over the time, the caffeine, whether you have it even in tea or the shower, won't really do much to improve your coordination or your judgment.
All right, we're breaking down some myths here about alcohol. We will be right back after a quick music break with some more.
Get your cup of coffee or your cup of tea and relax, because you're listening to 106.3 The Eagle, serving America's best.
All right, good morning. We are here, Wellness Wednesday. We're breaking down some myths and some facts about alcohol and how it can make you have a better time with alcohol and a safer time with alcohol. So we broke down a couple. We'll keep it rolling. Myth: a drink before bed will help me sleep better.
Not true. Actually, drinking alcohol before bed, it might make you feel that you're going to sleep easier, but you actually will have a harder time going to sleep. Are you familiar with REM, rapid eye movement, in the sleep?
That's where you get your solid, that's where the sleep is made.
Exactly.
And the REM.
The REM, and that's also, that's where you're in the dream state. And drinking alcohol can prevent you from getting into that REM state. And so, and one thing that I also remember learning years ago is if you are going to be going out to a party, if you are going to be drinking alcohol, consider having a drink of alcohol and then next having water, maybe 12 ounces of water, and then maybe having it so you're pacing yourself. But are you familiar with the term hydrophilic?
Hydrophilic is no.
Okay, well, hydro means water and philic means love. And so the brain is mostly water.
We've done this. I should have known this. You've quizzed me on this before.
Well, we're bringing it back. And so alcohol loves water, and the brain has the most water. So that's why if people do overindulge and they get hangovers, that's because the brain was attacked by the alcohol. And so by drinking adequate amounts of water through the night when you are out celebrating, that can help minimize some of the effects of a hangover.
That was one of my big revelations coming out of college, was I have like this 40 ounce thing of water, and if I ever am gonna go out for a night of drinking, I will bring that with me. I will just crush that all night long with it. I'm in the bathroom every 15 minutes, but it's worth it. I'm not hurting nearly as bad the next day.
When I was in college, and I graduated in 1987, they used to have Budweiser Mini, so it wasn't a full 12 ounces. And what I did was I sawed off the top of the pop-off can, and I folded it down so I wouldn't cut myself. So I actually had a very festive-looking water glass. And so it looked like you were drinking a beer, but you weren't. And because, again, sometimes I really just didn't feel like partying. And I think for women it's easier that there's no peer pressure, like, come on, be a woman, have a drink. Whereas for men, unfortunately, they're judged like, well, how much can he drink? I can drink you under the table. So I had my gender working for me for one, and because again, women aren't forcing you to pound it and prove your femininity. But again, and it was a really big conversation, like, hey, look at that. And so oftentimes I would drink my water out of my little Budweiser can, so it looked like you're like, hey, but I was really just, you know, consuming water. And I had a fun time with it.
You were ahead of your time, because I don't know if you've seen these now, but they sell cans of water that look like beer cans, but it's just water. So if you're ever out and you don't want to feel weird, you just drink the Liquid Death. That's one of them. And then I'm sure there are other brands. But yeah, it's just to make it so it's not awkward. You're getting hydrated, and no one's going to really judge you.
Yeah, interesting. So I've never heard of this Liquid Death and such like that, but I had my little sawed-off Budweiser can that I would drink water out of.
Man, a pioneer woman. And then we have another one. This one's a little strange. Alcohol can ease my chronic pain.
Nope. It might be temporary, And again, because the alcohol, it diminishes your judgment and your feelings and such like that. So it could literally numb your pain. But again, it's just numbing it. It's a temporary fix that's not really fixing anything. And unfortunately, when everything wears off, not only will you possibly be hungover, but your pain will still be there.
Can you just imagine going to a doctor and being like, yeah, my back's been really hurting. And then he hands you like a thing of Jack Daniels and says, finish this over a week and you'll be good to go. It's time to find a new doctor.
Well, I do know that people sometimes their physician will have them drink port wine if they've had cardiac issues. But again, it's just maybe having an ounce of it and such. And so that is something that people sometimes do prescribe or suggest, I should say. It's not a prescription. But that's something that people sometimes will suggest to certain patients.
Very specific use case and not a whole liter of Jack Daniels. Another myth, alcohol can be substituted for food?
No. And alcohol actually does contain calories. And I'm sure you remember from our different talks for Wellness Wednesday, there are three macronutrients. So there's carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Alcohol is neither of those three, but it still needs to be metabolized, and the body doesn't know what to do. And especially those of you who work in the gym, and I've seen you in the gym a few times when I go in there, what'll happen is that the alcohol will get burned first. So if you are on a fat burning protocol, etc., and you're really trying to lean out, the body is going to metabolize the alcohol before it even considers going to the fat.
Right.
And so sometimes when people are figuring out their calories, when they're counting their macros for those types of diets, sometimes people will use the alcohol as a carbohydrate. Ordinarily, so try to figure that out there. But that's something that you really want to consider, because again, if you are really trying to burn fat, the body is not going to burn fat until it metabolizes all that alcohol.
Well, I know it's similar for if you're trying to build muscle and you're consuming alcohol, the body's going to metabolize the alcohol first before it starts metabolizing the protein to turn the protein into muscle.
Right.
So don't use it for bulking either. It's really not a good fitness solution. So avoid that when you can. But, I mean, indulge once in a while, right?
You know, as long as you're responsible with it, I think everything within moderation. But even too, I think of people during Lent, for example, who have given up alcohol. And many have said, oh, I really lost a lot of weight, because again, the beer or the wine or whatever they're consuming, those are considered empty calories because there is no nutritional value in the alcohol that they're consuming. And so during those 40 days of religious devotion for Lent, people will actually lose weight. And so, but again, it's just knowing your body and making sure that if you do choose to drink alcohols, that doing it responsibly.
All right, there you go. Myth busted. We will be right back after a quick break.
Listen to all your favorite AFN Bahrain DJs in one place. 106.3 The Eagle, serving America's best.
All right, good morning. Wellness Wednesday here. We're talking about driving impairment, and the holiday season is a big reason to go out to celebrate, have a good time, catch up, all this good stuff, but it is not a good reason to do it and drive. And this isn't just alcohol, this is other substances as well. A big thing I've noticed is I'm from California, and they legalized marijuana.
Oh.
And so I remember when I'm 31, so when I was in high school about 15 years ago, it was super taboo. Like, only like a few kids did it, and they were the weird rebel kids. And now, I went back for Christmas last year, you can't go anywhere without the smell of it.
Oh.
People are doing it everywhere.
Wow.
It was very surprising. Like, just a walk along the beach where cars park, people are just sitting in their cars, lighting up. doing all these things, and then I assume they just go and drive.
Wow.
Which is illegal and not good.
Wow. Oh. You caught me off guard with that. I remember the first time I smelled marijuana. This was back in the 70s, and our mom took our bunch of my family members. It was over the 4th of July holiday, and we went to one of those theaters in suburban Philadelphia where it was like a dollar for two movies. And we were sitting there, and I smelled something, and I thought my hair was on fire. I remember like reaching back to touch my braid. I didn't know what it was. And then it wasn't until I was in high school, and we were riding the school bus, and the bus driver, she goes, "Somebody's smoking pot." Because again, I didn't know what, and so like, oh, so that's what that was at the movie theater a few years before. I didn't know. I'm not sure if it's legal in Pennsylvania or not. I'm not sure, but I lived in Washington State for a bit. And I remember the one Super Bowl where it was both the Broncos and the Seahawks were in it. And yeah. Both of those states had legalized,
so we called
the Super quote-unquote bowl.
Yeah, but it was just very surprising to just see how prevalent it was, and people didn't really seem to mind that, you know, you're doing a mind-altering substance and getting,
it can still alter your thinking abilities, your critical thinking.
Right, and getting behind a motor vehicle. Oh. So I know it doesn't apply to anyone out there in the military. And just kind of a heads up, if you're going back home, and it's out there a lot now.
Well, when you were mentioning smoking marijuana and such like that, we were talking about vaping last month when it was Tobacco Cessation Month. And one of the big populations that does a lot of vaping, unfortunately, are middle and high schoolers, for example.
Yeah.
And so underage drinking is also a problem. And so it's, again, not just for people who are 21 and above. And so I remember we were talking about this a little bit offline. And so one thing I can think of, our father even telling us when he was growing up, and he graduated high school in 1953, so we're talking 70 years ago. I have to do the math. I graduated in 83, which is 40 years ago. But he was saying is that kids who drank when he was in high school, and again, these are teenagers, they were more than likely to have alcoholism or be heavy drinkers as adults. And I can remember even in college, some kids who just did not know how to pace themselves, and maybe they did have a predisposition to alcoholism, because again, they would drink themselves silly and pass out and such. And so also too, for young adults, the brain doesn't solidify until you're about 25 years old. And so that's why insurance actuaries will not allow you to rent a car by yourself until you're 25. Because again, that affects your critical thinking skills. And so whether it is the nicotine and all the different chemicals that can harm your brain there, think about what alcohol can do to your brain as a young adult. And so, or is it even as a teenager. And again, that's affecting your critical thinking skills. And it's just not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since I've been overwhelmed from a drinking experience, but I remember when you're first starting out as a teenager or early college years and you're starting to drink, you have no idea how much your body can handle it, and it always just creeps up way too quick.
And as you're saying that too, is with alcohol, because again, how it affects the body and the thinking skills. I was trained to be an assault forensic nurse. And so oftentimes when people came in for like intimate assaults, it was because of alcohol-related issues. And sometimes it's because, again, consent wasn't given or they just weren't in their right minds when it happened. And so that was one of the big things that they had in common was drinking alcohol, having too much alcohol, and consent not being given, and then someone calling for assault. And then we had to go in to do the forensic exams.
It's a very dangerous thing in the underage world, teenagers, young adults handling alcohol. But there's kind of a pressure, I guess. Like you mentioned it earlier, like men, like, yeah, I can drink. But it's also with young people, there's this kind of myth, I guess, that if you drink, you'll be cool, people like you. Is that still around?
It is, and unfortunately, I think it always will be until they stop having movies and social media and such like that. Movies glamorize drinking alcohol and Young people are impressionable. Old people, I'm impressionable too. And so at least we're able to, we can
admit
sort of
it.
Admit it, yes. But again, if you see someone who that you idolize and they're either drinking or vaping or doing other things and you want to be like them and you want to look like them, no, alcohol really will not make you cooler. And especially if you end up doing stupid things. And with this day and age, with people always videotaping you, let's say you had a little too much to drink and then you're throwing up, people could be videotaping you. That could go viral, and you just never know what could happen. So definitely drinking and over-drinking is not something that's going to make you cooler.
Yeah, and when being a teenager is you hear about all the dangerous things that are out there in the world, but then alcohol is kind of... In the United States, in California, you can walk into the pharmacy and there's an entire aisle of just alcohol.
Pharmacy?
Go to CVS, go to Rite Aid.
Wow.
We sell beer, we sell alcohol there in California. So as a teenager, you're like, all right, it's in a pharmacy, it can't be that bad. Is it true that alcohol is like not that harmful compared to other drugs? Because there's some dangerous stuff out there, and alcohol...
No, alcohol still is dangerous, and again, because of your brain development, and again, not fully developing until about 25 years old and such, and you want to give your brain as healthy as a chance as possible, and I think it was last week for tobacco cessation. Imagine a vending machine, so you think like you want to go buy a soda or a candy. Imagine a vending machine full of brains. And so like, hey, well, I destroyed this one because I was vaping, or I'll just buy a new brain. Well, you can't. And so you have to protect the brain that you were given, you're in your cranial unit, and you have to make the best choices for that. Because again, God willing, you're going to live way beyond 25 and have solid, healthy, smart years. And so the best way to prevent bad things is to not do them in the first place.
Yes, do not bank on AI brains going to take over in the next 15 years, and you can implant it. Don't count on it.
No.
No. So I've seen a lot of kids these days on social media. They're taking up sobriety, which I think is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so maybe there's a little trend going to be not needing alcohol to be cool, not needing all that. But if you are going to do it, be safe. We're going to take a quick music break. We'll close this thing out.
We're cranking up the heat, Bahrain. It's just what we do. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
But one thing I wanted to share, when I was living on Okinawa, and the legal limit for alcohol in Okinawa is 0.03, which is basically one drink. In all the United States, the legal limit for drinking alcohol is 0.08. And so a story happened when I was there. There was a Lieutenant JG who, and it was right around the holiday times, and the holidays can be times of joy, but they can also be times of sadness. And again, here we are overseas, we're away from family, you have the lack of daylight, so the seasonal affective disorders. So you have like a perfect storm of things that could go wrong. So he was drinking because there was a relationship issue and such. He knew he had a little too much to drink, so he slept in his car. And so the next morning, he's driving back on base to the BOQ, and somebody rear-ended him. And so again, he was the victim of this event. Well, he was breathalyzed, and he was still over the 0.03 limit. And I don't know how much he had the night before, but he still had not come down to that limit. So what ended up happening is he had a captain's mast, and so our CO had us all there, and he was explaining the message traffic that goes from Japan to the United States and to Indo-PACOM, etc., when DUIs happen. And for officers, and I didn't know this, for officers, if you get a DUI, you get something called a letter of reprimand, and that goes in your record, and that's permanent. And so it's like a tattoo. And so that can prevent you from promotion boards and different things. And ordinarily in the officer community, you can go from ensign to JG and then JG to lieutenant automatically every 2 years. And this Lieutenant JG, he did not make lieutenant because of this letter of reprimand. And again, he was not a bad sailor. And our CO, he wrote to the board, etc. And I think the sailor eventually did put on lieutenant a few years later, but he has since gotten out of the Navy. But one of the things we were talking about offline was that Okinawa had something called Okinapa, which is sort of a wine fair. And my first year for Okinapa, I went and I drove my car to take the bus over to the center for the wine festival. Then I took the bus back and then I walked downhill and I hung out in my clinic for a few hours just because, again, I knew about the 0.3 and I wanted to make sure that I was safe. So I hung out at my clinic and then a few hours later, then I drove back home. And the sailor, when he had his issue, was in 2017. And so that was definitely sort of a wake-up call, because I'm sure that even though I had like small amounts of wine over the night, I might have definitely still been over 0.03. And so, again, that could be a career killer for getting a DUI. And so when I went to Okinapa the next time, and after knowing what happened to this sailor, I called my friends who worked in the med-surg floor, and I said, hey, can I stay overnight in the hotel? Because again, if I was going to have some wine, I did not want to get myself into any kind of trouble and possibly ruin my shots for graduate school, which I got into, and getting promoted to commander, which has happened as well. And so, it's very humbling what can happen. And so what we also learned when we were at Captain's Mast for the Lieutenant JG is that for sailors, for enlisteds, if you, for example, do have a DUI, and provided that you behave yourself, that will eventually get removed from your record. But again, for officers, that is a permanent tattoo that will always be there in your record. And so that was something sort of like a scared straight moment, because I did not realize the implications of this. I'm not a big drinker anyway, but when I found out like the 0.03 and the fact that these things can happen to my career, that was very eye-opening.
Yeah, one of the things about alcohol being so prevalent is you can watch other people make mistakes, and it's kind of your job to learn from them. So it sucks for that guy. I mean, that's a very unlucky situation, because he was kind of doing the right thing. But I mean, even still, I know I've known people who have drank too much and then sat in their car, maybe slept overnight. But if you have your keys in and you're in your car, the police can pull up and they can still bust you with a DUI.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
In California. I don't know. It may differ in other states, but I've known a couple. That's what they allegedly said, how they got their DUI. Maybe they were making it up. I don't know.
Sure.
But I think that's a real thing. Just having your keys with maybe an intent to drive. So there's a lot of rules out there. We just want you all to be safe. And we have a lot of resources here.
So if you think that you have a problem with alcohol, you can go over to the Substance Abuse Rehabilitation Program, the SARP, and they're over at the Readiness Clinic, which is embedded in the Mental Health Clinic on the second deck over at the at our command. And they are open from Sunday through Thursday from 0730 to 930. It's no advanced appointment is necessary, and the evaluations are within one business day. Or you can also schedule an appointment, and that would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday from 0730 to 1600, and then from Wednesday from 0730 to 1500, because again, we've got training on Wednesday afternoons. But again, this is something if you feel that you want to self-report. And then also too, with the holidays, if you are the host of a party, making sure that you are gathering people's keys, making sure that people can get Ubers and different things, because again, sometimes people who are holding the parties will hold responsible for people who are drinking and driving. And so just making sure that you have selections for non-alcoholic beverages there. I have things to distract people from drinking, so having board games or different things there, so drinking isn't the reason for the party. It's it's a side dish. It's not the main encore and main entree, I should say. And so, but making sure that you are being a responsible host, because again, you could be held liable if your guests are have untoward actions. But again, here in Bahrain, we have so many Ubers and taxis here. There should be no reason why people would be affected with drinking and driving.
That's a great point. There's so many. I mean, today's day and age, I just don't see any reason to do it. So be safe out there. We wish you you'll still be around.
Yes.
I'm wishing you a happy holiday, because I'm out.
Thank you. Drink responsibly in California.
I will.
Braxton out.
Listener, thank you very much. We will see you next week.